Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our opening study of the Acts of the Apostles, covering Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, right after our current events update. This is part 1 of a two-part study, and you can find the conclusion of our study at our website, BBFOhio.com.
The current events update. We're going to look at one thing this morning, the globalist democracy agenda. How many of you heard? I remember it was really big under George W. Bush that we were going to spread democracy around the world. And there's a real problem with that, and it's rooted in our education system, but it's also pervasive throughout the entertainment and so-called news media, this idea of democracy. A fellow named James Bovard, he's considered more of a libertarian. Folks, we are friends with the libertarians. It's not the same as liberal. The word liberal is not the same as libertarian. Libertarians believe in freedom, and they might go a little too far on a couple of things. Yeah. I'd rather be around them than the leftists who want to take away our freedoms. Amen. And James Bovard says, quote, "Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to eat for lunch. Freedom comes from the recognition of certain rights which may not be taken, not even by a 99% vote."
Yep. Amen.
Those rights are spelled out in the Bill of Rights.
Amen.
The first sentence there has been attributed to Ben Franklin at times and Thomas Jefferson at times, and there's no evidence that they can find there that they actually said that. But they did, we'll see a couple of quotes from those men. And if you read the Founding Fathers warned us against democracy.
Amen.
And if you don't understand what I'm saying, it's because you've been taught the false definition of democracy.
Amen.
When he says democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting to what to eat for lunch, the Founding Fathers never intended for us to just have majority votes on what to do and what's right or wrong. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic with democratic elections. We have democratic elections where the majority winner goes to represent us. We are a representative government, not a democracy. And if you don't know history, if you don't know what I'm about to say, and I'm not saying this to chew you out, I'm saying this to encourage you to start learning history. Every communist dictator used democracy to take power. It's the People's Republic of China. You go to the different communist nations and they're always the People's Revolution. And by simple majority vote, then they end up destroying their country. And our founders knew that. That's why they established the Constitution. Democracy is basically mob rule. And so that's why the leftists are always talking about democracy. And anybody who stands up for the Constitution is a danger to our democracy. Yes, we are. We are not a democracy. And those of us who stand for the Constitution are a danger to those who want democracy. And we will be so to the death.
A democracy is a political system in which the people periodically, by majority vote at the polls, select their rulers. The rulers then have absolute power to make whatever laws they please by majority vote among themselves. In a constitutional republic, the people also, by majority vote at the polls, select rulers who make laws by majority vote among themselves. But the rulers cannot make any laws they please because the Constitution severely restricts their lawmaking power.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Democracy. You, by majority vote, then you send people to represent your area, and they, by majority vote, decide what's going to happen. And that's not our government. Because our government says that no matter what, the Congress and the Senate, they have to go through both those houses. Then they send it to the president, who has to sign it. And if he vetoes it, it has to be overridden by a two-thirds majority. And if it... Even if that happens, it can go to the Supreme Court, and if found unconstitutional, it's thrown out.
Amen.
That doesn't happen in a democracy.
Right.
democracy is just majority rule. And if the wolves are in charge, the sheep get eaten. Right now, the only reason the wolves aren't eating us alive as conservatives and Christians is because of the Constitution. Yeah. Now, I'll grant you, it's on life support. But it's still there. And it's still being used to protect the rights of the citizens, including to bear arms. And once they can take your guns away, you're done. Take your guns away, you might as well just put bars around your house and call yourself a prisoner. Thomas Jefferson said, "All authority belongs to the people. In questions of power, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief with chains of the Constitution."
Amen.
Democracy is without any chains or any way to control what they do when they vote up at the Capitol. Can you imagine the people in charge now, what they would do if it wasn't for our Constitution? Yeah, we'd be thrown in jail. They're trying, even with the Constitution, to make what you and I believe hate crimes, so they can put you in prison. And without the Constitution, forget about it. That's why Europe and England are like they are. That's why Canada is the way it is. We were in that movie Matt Walsh put out, What is a Woman? He interviewed secretly, he didn't anonymously, but he interviewed a man who went to prison in Canada because his child wanted to have the chemical castration and trans surgeries at the age of 16, I believe, or 15. And he went, because he stood against it and spoke and would not call his child by their chosen pronouns, they threw him in prison.
Yeah.
That's in Canada. Because Canada doesn't have, Canada is a monarchical democracy. They do not have a Bill of Rights. England does not have a Bill of Rights. That's why they're all disarmed, unarmed slaves. And anything their government wants them to do, they will do. I mean, they can fight against it and give their lives doing it. But that's why they're in that predicament, and that's where we will be if they take the guns. Democracy is about universal equality. When the Declaration of Independence said all men are created equal, it's referring to, first of all, we have a God. Amen. Second of all, because we're created. Second of all, when it says equal, it's talking about equal before the law. It is not talking about equal outcomes.
Amen.
That's why when you hear the word equity used, it's by the leftists, because they don't want equal under law. They want equal outcomes. That's the universal pay that they want everybody. That's socialism and Marxism. But constitutional republic stands for individual liberty. And if you want to work hard and not spend your money on drugs and prostitutes, and not waste your money on anything else, you want to save your money, you want to pay off your house, pay off your car, have a retirement, you're free to do that, and you're enabled by your government to do it when it's functioning correctly. But not under democracy leads to tyranny and mob rule, and they come and take whatever they want from you. And that's why right now we are under a Marxist form of federal government, even though we still have a constitution. And that's why anywhere from 40 to 60% of your paycheck goes to the government.
Yep, that's right.
The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty.
I just thought I'd repeat, let him repeat what I just said. This is another libertarian / conservative, Thomas Sowell. He says, quote, "A society of equality, in the sense of equality of outcome, ahead of freedom, will end up with neither equality nor freedom. The use of force to achieve equality will destroy freedom, and the force introduced for good purposes will end up in the hands of people who use it to promote their own interests." End quote. Amen. That's why we repeat, America is not a democracy.
In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic and transforming it into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of American principles of government.
It all started right after World War II.
Yeah. That's right.
Coinciding with convincing you that your government's a democracy, which it's not, came throwing prayer and Bible out of the schools.
Yeah.
Coinciding with that came the Civil Rights Act, where they assumed government authority over private property. Did the right thing the wrong way. And they're now using that same Civil Rights Act tactic to force sodomy on you. Coinciding with we're a democracy came abortion, Roe v. Wade, pro-choice, women's rights. It's all satanic, Luciferian, abusive language. It's murder. You're killing babies. Call it what it is. And we're not a democracy, by the way. John Adams said, remember, democracy never lasts long. It seems it soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. John Adams. An effort to fight against simple majority rule and the onslaught of changes coming to our own state of Ohio Constitution, if something isn't done to stop it, is Ohio issue one. It's going to be on the ballot in a special election in August, August 8th. You need to get that on your calendar, and you need to make sure, don't tell your liberal friends to vote.
Amen.
Amen. I'm serious. Don't tell anti-Christ, anti-Americans to vote. How many of you have seen the conservatives go, I don't care what party, I don't care what you stand for, every American should vote? No. I mean, you have the right to, but I'm not going to remind you. You're a liberal and you're my neighbor, and I'm going to make sure that when I go to vote, I'm also going to the store. That way when you say, where are you going? I can say, I'm going to the store. Amen, amen. On August, yeah, I'm going to the gun store. On August 8th, vote on issue one. You'll vote yes, so that it will take a 60% vote to change our Constitution. Right now, it's a simple majority democracy type situation here in the state of Ohio. The leftists and progressives are working to defeat issue one in August in order in November to be able to get a 51% vote and enshrine abortion in our Constitution in the state of Ohio. Now, did that sink in? They want to enshrine abortion in our Constitution. And that's why they're fighting issue one, is so that it'll only take a 51 to 49 vote. It'll take a 50.7% vote to put abortion as a legal right. And it'll be up to birth when they do it. This is from the WOUB public media. How an August vote on Ohio's issue one affects the campaign for an abortion access amendment this fall. Public TV, public radio, NPR, PBS is communist. It's government propaganda. And it's left. Leftist propaganda. And they are pushing against issue one, and they want to support the enshrinement of abortion in our Constitution. That's public radio, public TV, PBS, NPR. It's garbage. Amen. Do not go there for your news. This is from their website. Volunteers and paid workers are working throughout Ohio trying to collect signatures for a November vote on a proposed constitutional amendment to enshrine abortion rights into the state constitution. But with a vote in on issue one in August, that could make it harder to amend Ohio's Constitution. Those petition gatherers are also doing something else. Pro-choice Ohio's Gabe Mann said, signature gatherers are doing a lot of voter education right now. In other words, when they find somebody who supports abortion, they're telling them, make sure you vote in August against issue one. So you and I and everybody who loves life, everybody who is against murdering unborn children, and everyone who loves our Constitution, both national and state, need to make sure you vote, and everyone you know who is of like mind votes on August 8th to pass issue one. And I'm watching. If I can buy some signs and give them to you, I will. But pure democracy ends in tyranny.
Note the following passages from a recent article distributed by the New York Times News Service. Quote, in the United States and in other leading democracies, recent years have seen perceptible growth in executive authority. As society becomes more equalitarian, it tends increasingly to concentrate absolute power in the hands of one single man.
Did you hear that? And that's a fact of history and prophecy. History and prophecy proves that once you go to a democracy and you can get rid of the Constitution, you can get rid of the Electoral College, you can get rid of all the things that our founders put in to protect our freedoms and rights. Once you can do that, then it will result in the power being vested in a single person. So democracy itself is preparing the way for Antichrist.
As society becomes more equalitarian, it tends increasingly to concentrate absolute power in the hands of one single man.
Coming soon. And all the world wandered after the beast. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's where it'll be a democracy that puts him in power.
As society becomes more equalitarian, it tends increasingly to concentrate absolute power in the hands of one single man.
A good teacher, when he wants to get a point across, repeats himself.
Yes.
Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Those who love the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you are full of the Spirit of God, you are going to serve the Lord with all your heart because you're going to love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And that will include serving Him by defending the God-ordained Constitution, Romans 13, 1-5, that He has established for the United States of America and the state of Ohio, if you're here local. If you want to serve the Lord, don't say you're serving the Lord without also doing your part to protect what's right. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. So be informed and pray accordingly. All right, this week we begin a verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And be in the first three verses to start. There'll be portions of Acts where we'll move a lot faster than we did through Luke because there's a lot of narrative. And Acts is not a doctrinal book, it's a history book. And so when you come to history books, now Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were history books as well, but Jesus did a lot of doctrinal teaching, so we slowed down on a number of occasions and only covered a few verses at a time. So we'll see some of that in the book of Acts as well. But we want to start out by reading the first three verses. So if you have your Bible open, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we'll have you read the odd verses, so jump right in with verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen? So we start by, when you first start reading a book of the Bible, you want to get some background on it. There are 66 books in the Bible. Our Catholic friends add the Apocrypha. We do not accept as God-inspired scripture. Our Mormon neighbors have the Book of Mormon and the Doctrines and Covenants and so forth, and we do not accept them as scripture. Bible-believing Christians believe in a Bible made up of 66 books. Now, each one of those books has dual authorship. The words are given by God. The Holy Spirit inspired the words of each book. And then he used a human author or authors. In the Pentateuch, for example, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Penta, meaning five, Pentateuch. Those first five books are called the books of Moses because Moses wrote almost all of it. He was the general editor. But Genesis, the entire book of Genesis, took place before Moses was born. And so we know Moses wasn't an eyewitness writing the book of Genesis. How did he get that information? He got it from the Holy Spirit. Now, at the end of the Torah, Moses is dead and someone is still writing. Now, and that didn't happen. Moses wasn't a ghost writer. His books then were finished by probably Joshua, possibly Caleb. We're not told exactly who. Now, the liberals make a big deal of that to try to make you doubt, as we talked about with Isaiah. They try to make you doubt Isaiah wrote the whole book of Isaiah in order to make you doubt that we really have God's words. Don't let that stuff bother you. We're just simply told God made sure that what he wanted in his book is in the book. That's why our first name is Bible.
Amen.
Our second name is what?
Believers.
Believers. And that's the difference between a genuine Christian and an unbeliever. They're not believers. Bible believers are Christians. So we understand the human author of the book of Acts to be Luke, and that he was moved to write God's words in this book. Very important to understand, because as we've said before, if you do not accept this book and the words of this book as the words of God, it will have no intended effect on you. It may have some effect, but it won't be the effect God wanted for you. But if you approach this book as God's word, Jesus said, "These words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Get full of his words with a believing heart, and you will be spirit-filled. Now, the first verse tells us enough to know who the author is. He starts by saying the former treatise. So whoever wrote Acts, this is his second treatise. He says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." Does that sound familiar? You know, there's another book in the Bible that begins with the author addressing Theophilus. And he says, "Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach," doesn't that sound like the Gospels? It does. So this is obviously the same author as the Gospel of Luke. As we look, comparing Scripture with Scripture, look at Luke, how Luke, the Gospel, began. Look over at Luke chapter 1. And the introduction basically is the first four verses. And Luke began his gospel by saying, "Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us," he said many. We have four. The other ones, God didn't move them to write and didn't inspire the words, and that's why they're not in your Bible. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, God was behind those. Verse 2, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." These are apostolic books. How many of you heard of the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Barnabas, the Gospel of Judas? It's known that none of those were written during the time of the apostles. They came centuries after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written. That's why they were never added to the Bible. You'll hear all kinds of people say, those are the lost books of the Bible. They're not lost, they're rejected. These are the books of the Bible because of what Luke says here in verse 2. They were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. They weren't writing, you know, it'd be like me trying to write a book and say, you know, this is the account given by George Washington. Wait a minute. George Washington told you all this? No. Well, then how could you make that claim? Well, the same thing's true about these so-called gospels. They can't claim to be gospels in any true sense of the word. They weren't even around when this stuff happened. But Luke says he was, and the people he got his information from were. So verse 3 then says, it seemed good to me also. That's just a funny way of putting it, because what he means is God moved him to write.